All right. Just think, what case would be appropriate for this time? Crazy times around the holidays. It gets very difficult to not get lost in it. Especially coming to this country from a different place. You can't help but seeing how crazy it gets. I mean, you see it even if you're born here, but coming from another place, it's very apparent. This time loses its essence, you know, it loses the reason that it should be about. It should be time to get together with other people, celebrate, friends, family, love. And we completely lose track of that. And we feel, and many people feel obligated, feel responsible, feel guilty if they don't. They'll run to the mall and buy and at times people complain that, I had to take a loan, I had to put stuff on credit card because things are difficult these days, and why do we have to buy? Buy what? Why isn't it enough to just go spend some time with a friend or a family member and have a meal together, give them a hug, tell them you love them? What more do we need? What are we trying to satisfy? Those are questions that in many cases we don't even stop and pose. I think we feel guilty to stop. So we keep going. And it is essentially a bottomless pit. It doesn't matter how much you buy, next year you will feel the pressure to top it off. To do better, buy more expensive stuff, more sophisticated, more unique, more whatever, as long as it's more than something. And I opened this case 62 from the Book of Equanimity, which felt very appropriate. It's Bacon's No Enlightenment. The preface to the assembly. The primary meaning of Bodhidharma's principle muddled Emperor Wu's head. The non-dual Dharma gate of Vimalakirti made Manjushri's speech go wrong. Is there anything here of enlightenment to enter and use? The case. Attention. Master Baiko sent a monk to ask Kyozan, do people these days have to attain enlightenment or not? Kyozan replied, it's not that there is no enlightenment, but how can one not fall into the second level? The monk related this to Baiko, who wholeheartedly approved it. The appreciatory verse. The second level divides enlightenment and rends delusion. Better to promptly let go and discard traps and snares. Merit, if not yet extinguished, becomes an extra appendage. It is difficult to know wisdom as it is to bite one's navel. The waning moon's icy disk, autumn dew weeps. Jeweled trees, dawn breeze chills. Bringing it out, great Kyozan discerned true and false. Completely, without flaw, the splendid jewel is priceless. Enlightenment, a big word. Do we need it? Do we not need it? What do we do with it? I tend to prefer to use the word awakening or realization over enlightenment. Enlightenment is a... The word itself can be a trap for us. Awakening or realization has more doing in it. It's more to make real. To realize something is to make real. To awaken to something is to awaken to this. To awaken, to snap out, to realize, recognize we're dreaming. So enlightenment. We come into practice with... We all come into practice with some idea, some picture of what it should be like, or how it would feel like. And we all have our own favorite picture of it. But the common thread between all our versions of it is that we all hold on to a notion that it's not this. That we all agree on. We may not agree on the colors or the sense, sights that it's going to appear in. But we know it's not this, or we think we know. Remember back in 1987, I was in Thailand at a monastery. I was there a couple of times, different periods. It was a very interesting experience. I remember looking at everything, looking at the monks, the teachers, the place itself, through a very thick veil of, there is something here I gotta figure out. There is something here I gotta extract, breathe in. I need to change something in me, or become something. It's a very interesting way of looking at life or at anything we want to become, because as long as we do that, we hold on to a separation between the way I am now and the way I would like to be, or the way these people are. Funny, I remember talking to one of the monks about their lives, and he said, yeah, we wake up early in the morning, we sit, we meditate, and then we go bowling. And I thought, that's interesting. It's a quite enlightened way to live. And of course, what he meant is we go out with our bowls and we beg for food. He just added the ing and thought, well, what we do in the morning? And it was a very interesting conversation. And they do that. They do. They wake up early in the morning and they take their ball and they walk around. And they have a very interesting symbiotic relationship between the village, the villagers, and the monks. The monks give them spiritual food, so to speak, and then they get back physical food. And the interesting thing about that is that if a monk does not do his job or is slacking off, he'll come back to the monastery with an empty bowl, realizing today I have no food. I better contemplate on doing better. There's something I'm not doing. I'm not doing well. Anyway, going back to the experience of creating a gap, creating a separation between where we're at and where we want to be. And of course, as long as we hold on to that, as long as we believe that there is a gap, there will be a gap. In reality, there is no gap. In reality, it doesn't really care whether or not you are blending, opposing, resisting. It doesn't change anything. So what is enlightenment? Is there such a thing? And Kyozan is saying, I'm not saying that there is no such a thing, but how can one not fall into the secondary? What is the secondary? Shishin here quotes the Diamond Sutra, which says, dwell in no place, raise the body mind, right? Dwelling nowhere, raise the mind. And then he asks, but is enlightenment no place to dwell? What is no place? Tell me. As long as you objectify, it is the second level. If you say you are enlightened, you've already fallen into the second level, since words cannot reach it. If you say you're not enlightened, you're falling into the second level because you deny the Buddha's teaching. Is there a first level? If you say there is, you fall into the second level. And if you avoid the question entirely, you also fall into the second level. It's quite a task, isn't it? Quite a challenge. We want to hold on to something. We are so accustomed, we are so in love, we're trying to hold on to anything. And imagine this, imagine that you are free falling. And you look around you for something to hold on to, and you see a handle. You grab a hold on to it, right? You hold it tightly, thinking, okay, I'm secured now. But if you look carefully, you could see that this handle is not attached to anything. It's actually falling with you. But we don't want to look. We don't want to look. And it doesn't take actually that much time to see that. It takes honesty. So when you recognize that the handle, your hand, and you, and the chair you sit on, are all falling, what do you do then? What do you hold on to? It's a very scary place to be. It's the only place to be. Because there is no other place. Because we are free falling or falling apart. Isn't that what we practice? I want to go back to the preface to the assembly. The primary meaning of Bodhidharma's principle muddled Emperor Wu's head. That's that famous koan when Bodhidharma is visiting Emperor Wu and Emperor asking, what is the highest meaning of the holy truth? And he's saying, empty, without meaning, without holiness. That does muddle our heads, doesn't it? Empty. Free falling, nothing to grab, nothing to hold on to. More than that, there's nobody that can hold on to anything. And then the second line says, the non-dual Dharma gate of Vimalakirti made Manjushri's speech go wrong. The non-dual Dharma gate of Vimalakirti. Vimalakirti was considered the most highly awakened, the most awakened disciple of the Buddha. Lay disciple of the Buddha. And at some point he was ill and the Buddha wanted to send somebody to check up on him. And in the Vimalakirti Sutra, they go through the Buddha trying to convince somebody to go see him. Nobody wanted to go because everybody was scared of him because of his high level in the Dharma because of his deep attainment. So they go through person by person, and then at the end, Manjushri goes. And then they have a discussion, a conversation. So they talk about the non-dual gate, right? How do you divide? Can you divide? How do we divide? How do we separate? And we do it all the time. Manjushri tried to explain it. Got caught up. And Vimalakirti said nothing. He said nothing because there was no need to present. The less you say, the less you do, the more clear it is. The more we try to create it, the further away we get from it. It's just how it is. Forget Zen, forget Buddhism, forget sitting. It's just reality as is. And I was reading it, and then somehow, I don't know how, somehow I got to think about Rinzai. Famous Rinzai, who everybody thinks he was a tough, mean dude. Beating and shouting. But again, if you look at it deeply, you see that he was actually very kind. With the shouting, with the beating. Sometimes it's what we need. A slap, a shout, and a moment of awakening to snap out. This is from the book of Rinzai, addressing his monks. He said, that's very simple actually, very much to the point. He said, nowadays, those of you who practice Buddha Dharma need to have true insight. If you get true insight, you will no longer be tainted by life and death, and you will be free to go and stay. Though you don't seek that which is excellent, that which is excellent will come to you all by itself. Right? By not looking for it, you recognize that you are it. By looking for it, you get away from it. By searching for enlightenment, you get away from what it means. Not from the world. There is no such a thing. It's not a world. It's not even a state. It's 100% you. Followers of the way, outstanding ancient teachers, all had their own methods to liberate people. In the case of this mountain monk, he called himself the mountain monk. All I want to do is point out to you that you must not be deluded by others. If you want to act, just act. Don't ever be intimidated. You students nowadays don't get it. What is the disease? The disease is a lack of self-confidence. If your faith is insufficient, you will keep on wandering in confusion, no matter what the circumstances are. You will be controlled by and led around by others. You will not find freedom. If you can stop your continuously seeking mind, then there will be no difference between you and the Buddhas and the patriarchs. Would you like to know the Buddhas and patriarchs? They are none other than those who are right in front of me right now, listening to this Dharma talk. Because you students of Dharma don't have enough confidence in yourself, you search outwardly. Even if you find something through seeking externally, that something is merely a deception in written words. You will never get to the vital spirit of the patriarchs that way. Make no mistakes, virtuous Zen students. If you don't meet this right now, you will transmigrate in the three realms for 10,000 kalpas and thousands of lives, led by your preferences to be reborn as a donkey or a cow. Followers of the way, according to this mountain monk's view, we are not different from Shakyamuni Buddha. Is there anything you lack in your everyday activity? The six rays of divine light never cease shining. If you can understand it this way, then, only then, you'll just be a person of Buji throughout your life. Now, Buji is suchness, as-isness. Wu Wei actually touches on that, you know, the doing of non-doing or non-doing doing. And then, of course, there is this famous saying, if you want to be a person of suchness, practice suchness without delay. Seeing that you're already such a person, why worry about such a thing? It has never been otherwise. So what is enlightenment? Buji is an interesting word. Bu means negation. Ji means everything else that you encounter. So you negate, meaning you don't hold on to anything. You don't sit on anything. However you feel right now is exactly the way life appears. There is no other. It's not a question of whether or not it's pleasant. Chasing after pleasure, running away from pain, the cycle of samsara, the cycle of suffering. It's what we do. Speaking about Rinzai, I don't know, some of you may know, some of you not, his enlightenment story, how he encountered realization. He studied with Obaku for quite some time, I think 3 years. And then Bakushu, who was the head monk at that time, asked him, how long have you been with us? He said, about 3 years. And Bakushu said, have you gone for an interview with the master or not? Rinzai said, I have not done so. I don't know what to ask him. Bakushu said, why don't you ask, what is the essential meaning of Buddhism? Rinzai said, okay, went in and asked. Before he finished the sentence, Obaku hit him. Then he got out. He told Bakushu what happened. Bakushu said, no, 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 you got to go in and ask again. It's a misunderstanding. So he goes back. Same treatment. 3 times. Then he comes out and he talks to Bakushu. He says, I don't know what's going on, but I'm leaving. I'm not staying here. Something must be wrong. So he said, before you leave, go see the master one more time. Then Bakushu went to Obaku and said, this monk who asked you these questions, although he's young, he's very extraordinary. If he comes to say goodbye to you, please give him appropriate instruction. So he goes in one more. And Obaku said, you don't need to go too far. Just go to Gaon Monastery and practice with Dayu. He'll explain it to you. He said, okay, bowed, left, went to Dayu. Dayu said, where did you come from? He said, from Obaku's monastery. And Rinzai said, 3 times I asked him about the essential doctrine And three times I got hit. I don't know where I was wrong. And Dayu said, Obaku has old grandmotherly affection and endures all this difficulty for you, for your sake. And here you are seeking, wondering whether or not you made an error. At these words, Rinzai was awakened. Did he have to get hit? Was Obaku mean? What was he practicing when he was there? Apparently, he was taking care of all his duties, a good monk, a good guy. Doing everything he was supposed to do. Not even knowing what to ask. Which, of course, goes back to the question, do we need enlightenment? What do we do with it? Some people sometimes ask, people that do not practice ask, well, what do I need that? It's okay. I know what to do, I know what not to do, I know what to avoid. I know what I'm chasing. I'm good to go. We don't even know. There is something we do need. And we have to work on it. We have to work at it day and night. We must clarify the essential point for one reason, so we stop bugging ourselves. We keep bugging ourselves over and over and over again, looking for something else. And it does happen. When you do recognize, when you realize one thing, that there's no need to look, search for anything else. Then, only then, you could be at home. And then, what happens works. Because you recognize that the essential point has nothing to do with what happens. It only manifests in that way. It does not depend on what happens. And at the same time, you recognize that the essential point is none other than you. That although you do not feel free, you are free. Even when you don't feel free. And then you're free. And then you have to let go of that too. Because if you hold on to that, you fall into the secondary. If you think there is enlightenment, if you hold on to a notion of enlightenment, you create delusion. Because you think that there is something else other than this. If you think you are deluded, you create enlightenment. Again, you create something that is not this. Anything you create, well, first of all, is a creation. Second, it takes you away from this. It separates you. And again, the irony is that it doesn't matter what you do or don't do, separation is impossible. You close your eyes, yet it's still this way. You open your eyes, it's still this way. Nansen once said, looked at the flower one and said, people these days see this flower as if in a dream. Isn't that true? Even when we open our eyes, they're closed. We're daydreaming. Going back to Rinzai, by the way, after this experience, he went back. Actually, before that, after he realized After I realized, it told Dayu, Obaku was not special at all. He didn't have anything special to teach. He didn't have anything special to teach. Then he went back. He stood there in front of his teacher, fully awakened, fully aware that there is nothing special. There was an exchange between them, but it's irrelevant right now. What's relevant for us is that until that point, we seek it elsewhere. And the moment you realize, the moment you recognize, you realize that everybody's got it and you're not special. And that's exactly what makes you special. The recognition that we're all the same, we're all one. Recognize it or not, you're all one. How do you let go of that? Once a monk came to Joshua and said, my mind is empty. What do I do now? Joshua said, throw it out. And then the monk said, but it's empty. What do I throw out? He said, well, okay, then carry it out. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid getting trapped. But at the same time, you can't avoid being free. Because you are free. And when you do realize you are at home, and then you're free to do whatever you want. You're free to sit, you're free to get up, you're free to walk. You're no longer seeking for anything. And it changes everything. So yes, we could use some enlightenment. It does help. And again, life doesn't care whether or not you realize. It's just that suffering does diminish with your realization. It does work. Gotta finish. So I want to go back to the verse. There's a line in the verse. Very important. Merit, if not yet extinguished, become an extra appendage. In Cleary's translation, he says extra thumb. Extra thumb, right? It becomes an extra. Anything extra makes it very difficult. Five fingers are enough, right? We don't need a sixth one. It's not going to be more helpful. If you hold on to delusion, it's extra. If you hold on to enlightenment, it's extra. Can you not hold on? Can you practice realization rather than look for realization? Is that a possibility? It's exactly what Dogen is saying, right? Zazen is the practice of realization. It's not a way to become a Buddha. It's the way of the Buddha. Practice this. Create no gap and travel light.